believe that one? Yeah, me too. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that we have a God that is bigger than even our present problems, the ones that may seem big and tough and difficult and even insurmountable at the time. I tell you what, our fear, our feeling of failure and inadequacy cannot stand in the presence of our God. Our God is so much bigger. Amen? All right. Who thinks they can count that high?
Nine.
Tim's already nine. Nine, that's right. People were betting you can't come up with another one. Well, I did. Nine H's. I haven't seen Ann Hubbard this morning. Is she here? Oh, back there. All right. Ann doesn't know this, but she has most graciously offered $200 as the winner of last week's guessing game. She's offered up double the prize from last week, $200 for anybody that wants to try to guess, well, not wants to try, that actually accurately guesses the final H. Today's it. Next week's our annual celebration. This is it for H's. But while we're here, let's just embrace it. What's the final H? Did Ann talk to you about Wendy? So last week, Ann won, first guess. Nobody else even had a chance. Wendy just nailed it. See Ann afterwards for your check. Tell everybody what you said in case they didn't hear it.
Hilarious.
No kidding. Where'd you come up with that?
Ann Hubbard.
Oh, so Ann told you. Well, that's cheating. That's cheating. All right. Well, Ann doesn't even know this, that she emailed me. And long story short, she said, you're hilarious. What about adding that to the final H? I'm like, absolutely. That sounds like a good one. Because here's the deal. I love when you guys laugh at my jokes. I love when you, and they're so funny, you can't help but laugh at them, correct? So I truly love when you laugh at my jokes. And I think that laughter is important and is valuable. But here's really where the rubber meets the road today is there any value in hilarious? Is there any value in being funny or laughing out loud? Well, I say absolutely. One thing, those of you that have been around a while and know me and my style of preaching is that I greatly value connecting with you guys. Like right away, first thing, we try to end on a pretty upbeat song so there's energy and enthusiasm within the congregation. And then I get up here and I want to instantly connect with you guys. And my prayer is that God also will open up your hearts to whatever it is that the Lord wants to speak through me. And I think one of the primary ways is laughter. It's laughing. It's you being fortunate to have a hilarious pastor. Amen? All right. Well, are there any other benefits to laughing? I think it's important, again, opening up hearts, connecting us together, just setting the stage and the mood for God to move in amazing and miraculous ways. Or are there any other benefits? Absolutely. Open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. If you find the middle, that'll generally be about the book of Psalms there. And go one more book and you'll see the Proverbs, interesting book, wisdom literature written mostly by King Solomon, quippy little sayings, do this and this will happen, or don't do this because this will happen, things like that. It's fun to read, but today we're going to read just one verse to at least start and set the stage. And if you don't have a Bible, you can look up at the screen. I think we've got it up there for you. And Proverbs 15. We're going to jump into verse 13. I can hear pages turning, so I'll explain a little bit more. Boy, a lot of these Proverbs stand alone. In other words, they don't necessarily 5, 6, 8, 10 verses going together. A lot of times they are truly standalone, but generally geared around wisdom. Wisdom for life. And it's very much, again, it's enjoyable to read and very memorable as well if you like to memorize verses, but this one has spoken to me throughout the years very much. Proverbs 15:13 simply reads, "A joyful heart makes a face cheerful, but a sad heart produces a broken spirit." Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this chance to gather in this warm and bright and wonderful place under this roof as a body of your body, the body of Christ, to praise and worship you. And Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your word and how it speaks to us. Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given to me this week and also over the last several weeks. So Lord, we thank you for all of that. And we pray that your spirit would go before us today, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to better understand you and what it is that we can do for you because of what you have done for us. Lord, we pray all this in the holy and perfect name of Jesus. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. So at least the first part of today's message is that you're going to have the chance to learn why it is that you should laugh more often because of what we kind of discover in this passage of Scripture. And it's not a very complicated or difficult passage of Scripture, but it's important, I believe, as we explore this idea of all these different H's. And if you're new here this week or last week, maybe you're catching the theme that we've been doing, increasing numbers of H's, and we'll address all of that here throughout today's message. But today, thinking about the idea of hilarious or laughing, we couldn't use laughing because that doesn't start with H. It has to start with H. So we're looking at the word hilarious, and here's the honest truth. We're going to talk about a couple difficult facts to start with, but have you heard the saying that misery loves company? Maybe you've experienced that in your life or in other people's lives that impact you. Misery certainly does love company, and boy, is that statement true. And the truth is that people that run on the toxic end of the scale, or people that are hurting, they want others to join in with them. If you're hurting, maybe you've done it recently, you want other people to feel your pain, maybe to experience it on a very deep level. Toxic and hurting people want other people to join in with that. And as you can imagine, just one being a member of a family, being a member of a community, and especially being a pastor, boy, I have known people, in fact, I know people that are like that. Just kind of run on the negative scale, the negative end of things, and they want other people to be as miserable as they are. And ouch, not so much fun. And also being a pastor and being a member of the community and a member of a family, I know and have known folks that are completely different than that. I know folks, some of you in here, that are absolutely different, that when you walk into a room, just light up the room with your joy and with your smiles, that when you come into a room, you brighten the mood, bring cheer and smiles and laughter. Well, here's the question that we need to ask ourselves is, which one of those types of folks do you prefer being around? Don't answer out loud. Well, I think, which one do you like to be around? Then really stop and ask each of ourselves, which one are you? Which one of those types of people are you? And remember, these sermons are always first and foremost for me, and then hopefully also for you guys as well. But truth is, yeah, who do you want to be around? And then who are we? Because misery loves company, and sometimes we kind of birds of a feather flock together, sort of idea. I'm afraid that some folks have been infected with this disease, this cancer of pessimism and negativity and toxicity and just frowns. They're infected with frowns and they don't even know it. Others are so deeply entrenched, possibly, in just this mindset of woe is me and woe is the world and what could we possibly do, that they've lost sight of anything good or bright or cheery or, heaven forbid, hilarious or funny. The Bible speaks very clearly that our eyes are a lamp unto our hearts. Our eyes are a lamp unto our souls. And the Bible also speaks, Jesus teaches, that out of our mouths comes the overflow of our hearts. We can pretty quickly tell where a person is at, what the condition of their heart is, by the countenance of their face and by the words that they choose to speak. So what is the solution if maybe we run a little bit harsher, a little bit more negative or pessimistic or whatever. If we see more of the problems than we do the joys and the good things, what do we do about that? Well, number one is guard our hearts by guarding our eyes. Guard our hearts against the darkness that's all around us. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you guys know full well that darkness is all around us. There is evil lurking everywhere. The Bible says that the devil is out there like a roaring lion, and he's prowling around looking for anyone that he can devour. And he devours us with poison and negativity and things like that. So guard our hearts and our minds. Guard our eyes. Remember the children's song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear, and be careful, little eyes, what you see." I know that sin has been around since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, but doesn't it seem like sin is even more readily available today in everything that we watch and listen to? And it's shocking what we've allowed to be normal these days. Be careful, big eyes. Be careful, big ears, what you see and what you hear. Guard our hearts and our minds. Be careful what we allow in to our hearts, because it affects us in every single level. Evaluate the people that are in our lives. Sometimes we have some very negative or even toxic folks that are very close to us. And so I guess the encouragement, the solution is evaluate, truly evaluate who's in your life, who's influencing you and your thoughts and your words and your decisions. Are these people negative or are they positive? Are they helpful toward a life full of joy and cheer, or are they hurtful? Are they godly folks, or are they possibly ungodly? Do they point you and others to Jesus, or do they pull you and others away from Jesus? Evaluate those folks in your life, and then evaluate your own life. Each of us evaluate our own lives and truly seek the Lord to reveal what type of influence are we in our relationships, in our church family, and in our community, and answer that question honestly. Some of you may remember the illustration I gave some time ago. I don't know when it was. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. But our oldest son, Gabe, growing up when he was a little bitty boy, and he is a big boy now. When he was a little bitty boy, he absolutely loved lemons. He really did. I think he still does, but we don't get the chance to enjoy meals with him as often anymore that he's in college. But he would always get our lemons left over from squirting it in the water, and he would eat the whole lemon, rind and all. Little bitty one, little bitty kids, cute as a button, sitting there and eating the lemons, and he would just pucker up like it was the bitterest thing he ever ate, and then he would go back for seconds and thirds and take all the lemons from everybody. Interesting picture of his face as he's puckering and all the bitterness. And I use that as an illustration. If you are running a little negative, maybe a little pessimistic, spit that lemon out. Remember that one? I had a couple people on Monday after I shared that saying, "I'm going to spit the lemon out. I'm going to ditch the negative news and the bad, all that stuff that's happening, it's affecting me, and I'm going to spit that lemon out." I don't know if you did or not, but the point is, if you want to laugh more and have a joyful heart that makes your face cheery versus a sad heart that produces a broken spirit, perhaps spit that lemon out. Whatever's causing you to pucker up and frown, and turn that frown upside down. How many little sayings can I incorporate into today's message? Smile and laugh more, especially at my jokes. A joyful heart produces a face cheerful, and a sad heart produces a broken spirit. Enough said. Should we close and simply go home? Some are going, "Well, sure. The sled dog race is today, and I'd like to go catch the finish. We'll be done before that." Here's the truth is, the honest truth is, that our heart's health is critical. Our heart's health is absolutely crucial, and our heart's health is absolutely no laughing matter. There's 9 H's up there on the screen for a reason. We need healthy, happy, holy harmonious, humble, and yes, even hilarious hearts. I care deeply about each of your hearts. But as much as I care about your hearts, God cares about our hearts even more. He wants the best for us. And so I'm going to quickly recap just a little bit over these last couple of weeks to help us hopefully remember the big picture of what it takes for each of us to truly have a healthier heart. The first week we looked at Psalm 100. I'm just going to look at the first verse. And I encourage you to sit and just listen to me read these couple different scripture verses rather than try to follow along and allow God's word to penetrate so deeply into each of our hearts that it really does make an impact. And as we leave today, our hearts would be ever, ever healthier. Psalm 100, kind of the key verse from that sermon was, we looked at all the verses, was verse number 3. I think this is the key to the beginning of this whole heart health idea. And verse 3 says, acknowledge that the Lord is God and that he made us and that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The solution to nearly every issue in our personal lives, every personal struggle, boils down to, are we thinking God? Or are we thinking ourselves? Are we thinking God or are we thinking people? It pretty much boils down to that. And one of the lines I remember kind of coming up with was, put people in proper perspective. And boy, put God in proper perspective. And doesn't that just kind of answer all the dilemmas and questions that we face? Put ourselves in proper perspective and put God in proper perspective. Oh my word, when we acknowledge and know in our hearts and in our actions that God is the Lord, that he is the creator of heaven and earth and that we are his. He owns us. He's created us. And we're simply the sheep of his pasture, that he's the great shepherd and we're to follow him. He is good and boy, we're nothing apart from him. It changes everything. Are we thinking God in proper perspective or are we thinking selves in an unhealthy, improper perspective? Acknowledging that the Lord is God, that he has made us and we're his sheep. That's truly remarkable. When we do that, it changes everything. It leads to joy in our lives because we're not struggling with who's the boss. And who's in control? We know that God is. It leads to worship and joy and praise and even service, our actions, even our giving, our tithes, time and talent, and our treasures we give back to God because he is so good. It makes our hearts light and joyful because of the proper perspective. The next one is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. An interesting and fun passage of Scripture, Colossians 3 and verses 12 to 15, talking about the Christian life and the newness that we have in Christ and what it is that we're supposed to do, how we're to act and behave as we recognize that God is God and we are his. And now if we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, and we've been bought at a price and set free, we've been redeemed and sanctified. Therefore, in verse 12, the scripture says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. Oh, and be thankful. If you and I want a heart that is healthy and holy and happy and even leading into harmonious, working in unity with each other, the body of Christ, if you want a heart that leads to a face that's joyful and pleasant, simply display the characteristics of Christ in your life and be set free from bitterness and negativity and unforgiveness. Truly be set free, in order to have all those different H's just kind of look more like Jesus. And that's what the beginning of this passage spells out. Act all those ways, because that's the way that Jesus acted. And that leads, truly leads, to a heart that is light. It breaks my heart to see some folks carry around such deep burdens that they don't have to carry. In fact, they're not designed to carry. And Jesus graciously offers us the opportunity to lay those things down at the cross and allow Him to carry them for us. And then we can praise and worship Him because of His goodness and His perfect timing and His grace and mercy. As we act like Jesus, as we think more like Jesus, as we put God in proper perspective, it leads to joy in our lives. It leads to teamwork in the body. It leads to us working together rather than against each other. And that leads to verse 14, which I think is the key here. It says, above all, I like that when he kind of sums it up, more than all that stuff, above everything else, put on love, which is that perfect bond of unity. You and I are called, boy, we're called again and again throughout Scripture to put on love, to love God above everything and to love others like ourselves, to be known as people of love. Jesus says that the world will know that we're his followers if we have love for each other. Paul says, put on love. Finally, in conclusion, put on love as we forgive others. And then 15 is kind of like the result of that. And I love this one because, oh my goodness, couldn't we all use more of Jesus' peace? 15 says, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. You want a light heart that's full of happiness and holiness, that's healthy and harmonious, boy, let the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts. Boy, it leads to joy and cheer in our faces, all kinds of good and wonderful stuff. But there's more to it than that. There's kind of one more really important step, and that's spelled out in the book of James. And that's what we looked at last week. So important. James chapter 4, I think it's verses 6 through 10. Incredible and important. The key to all of this working correctly, it's really the foundation of our faith, in fact. Everything that we believe that is built upon this one final H here, and that's humility. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We looked at that last week and discovered what is pride and what is humility, and they're opposed to each other and very opposite. And God resists the proud and gives grace, abundant grace, merciful grace to those that are humble. We learned that if you want to be exalted in heaven, you need to be low here on earth. And if you want to be exalted here, boy, you're going to be brought low when you come into the presence of the God of the universe. But he gives greater grace. And therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. A humble heart is crucial and critical to a face full of joy, to a heart that is healthy and holy. Quarrels and bickering, pain and problems are absolutely never, ever a result of humility. They're always a result of selfish pride. So what's the solution? It's spelled out right there in Scripture. Submit to God. Draw near to Him. And the Bible says that He will draw near to you. We looked more in depth last week about what it means to submit and surrender to God. I said, raise the white flag. Cry, uncle, I give up. God, I can't do it on my own, and I'm tired of my own weakness. God, will you take over my life? Fill me with your strength, because I know that in my weakness, you can be made strong God, do in me whatever it is that you want. And then allow him, which means saying no to self and yes to him. And it'll be weird at first, but that's what surrender and submission is. Submit to God and he will draw near to you. Fill your life with the Lord. And I love the next part of this passage. It says, and the devil, he'll flee from you. The devil can't stand in the presence of our God. He flees from us when we are filling our life, our mind, our eyes, and our heart with things that are godly and good and lovely and peaceful and joyful. And the devil flees from that. We don't even give him a foothold. Don't even give him an inch. Those of us that have had some heart struggles, actual, real life, physical heart issues, we know how serious that is, the medical condition. We know how serious doctors and medical professionals take heart issues, heart health, heart struggles. And so even more serious than our physical hearts is our spiritual hearts. As I said back near the beginning, our heart issues, our heart health is so vital. It's absolutely no laughing matter. And I pray that through these last couple of weeks that each of us will learn how to have a healthier heart. With me, maybe you also have learned. Maybe God has spoken into your life like he has in mine, areas where I can improve, where you and I together can improve, and we can encourage each other to let those things go, to give it up to Jesus, to walk around in brighten rooms rather than ever darken them, as we learn together how we can have a happy, healthy, holy, harmonious, humble, and even a hilarious heart. Pray with me. Father, oh Lord, we thank you that you don't ever leave us the same, that you are far more interested in our tomorrow than you are our yesterday. And so, Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will help each of us that were able to hear this message today and in the future, Lord, that each of us will take a good hard look at our heart's condition and the things that might affect our lives and impact us, boy, for the worse. And Lord, that we would repent of those things, turn away from that, and instead walk ever closer into your open arms. And Lord, I pray that you would grant each of us true heart health, that we will be better representatives of you and your love and your grace and your mercy. And so, Father, move among us today and in these coming days as we desire to know you more and to be more like you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.